Welcome to the Nested Parent Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kelsey Alford. I'm a pediatric nurse practitioner and owner of Nested Sleep. This podcast is all about bringing you evidence-based parenting that you can use today. I'm excited to have you here on your parenting journey. Let's dive in. Hey, welcome back, everyone, to the Nested Parent Podcast. I'm so excited today to talk with Ryan Jordan all about how to adjust and get your child used to having their new nanny and how to foster that bond. So thank you so much for joining and coming today.
Thank you, Kelsey. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell me a little bit about your business and just how you got started doing this.
Sure. So Educated Nannies is over a decade old. And wow. The way that I started this is I finished my master's degree in education from Pepperdine, and I became a school teacher and a nanny. So I was nannying after school on the weekends and then in the summers. And then it evolved into a full-time career nanny position where I traveled. And, you know, I noticed that a lot of the families that we traveled with or my kids played with, they would ask me for referrals to other nannies, or I would be at the park in Pacific Palisades and try to poach me from my nanny.
Yeah.
So I was like, there's definitely a need for an educated nanny who is play-based and engaging and really dynamic with kids. And so I launched my company in 2013. And, you know, now we're nationwide and we've placed thousands of nannies with families, and it's been a complete labor of love. And I enjoy my job every single day still, you know, even during the challenging moments. It's my true passion.
That is so amazing how you evolved from your own career as a nanny and seeing, you know, what was needed within the community and creating it. So for our listeners, so Ryan and I met each other through our certification in positive discipline. So I love just the different forms of connection and how our paths crossed.
Me too. That was such a great course from Sproutable. I loved it. I use it with my own children. And
absolutely.
It's positive discipline is such a fantastic way to move forward with your children to foster those safe and close relationships.
So with your own company, what types of things are you looking for when you are, you know, partnering with a nanny to connect with a family?
Yeah, it starts with the communication. If you are a thorough communicator, if you're graceful, if you express gratitude, if you are professional and organized, it starts in the email. You know, if someone just sends us a resume with no introduction, or, you know, sometimes we get entitlement. And for us, that is not what we're looking for. What we're looking for is a professional nanny who's really passionate about their career and excited for the opportunity, and also humble if it's not the right opportunity or the right fit. So that's what we're looking for.
Yeah, I think that that is really what you have to go in when you are more of it in that career-based environment with a nanny. You really have to go into it saying, like, you know, you may not day one find this, you know, amazing connection. You're looking for that really strong bond between the nanny and child and family. So that can take some time, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Especially if a family is transitioning from a nanny to another nanny, the bond has already been developed. So I always say, you know, give a good 30-day transitional period for everyone to settle in, and for your child to get used to the nuances of the new nanny. And it's always nice if the former nanny can help transition the new nanny. If they're having a positive you know, transition, that's always super helpful, because that nanny has tips and tricks that sometimes the parents don't even know about. So it's always helpful if the nanny can help with the transition.
That makes so much sense. We need to have such better succession plans in America as a whole, I feel like.
100%.
So I work with a lot of working parents and parents that, you know, want to find that good fit, that good connection with their nanny and child and their family. So how do families even begin the process, and when should they begin the process of searching for a nanny?
Sure. So I say if you're a first-time parent and you're pregnant, I would say hire a newborn care specialist or doula first and then transition to a nanny anywhere between the 3 to 6 month mark. If you already have a nanny and you know your separation date, then I would always look about 6 to 8 weeks in advance. Most professional nannies must give a 2 to 4 week notice before transitioning to another family. And it also takes time for screening. You know, if you're calling references, I can call a reference today and they will say, we're in Mexico for spring break. Can I get back to you April 8th? I'm like, well, this job starts April 1st. Right. If you're 5 minutes, that would be lovely, you know. But it's, you know, that is the hardest part, is speaking with the references. Sometimes different background checks in different states can take 7 to 10 days before we receive them. So you just want to plan. I always say plan for the worst and hope for the best when it comes to timeline. Because unfortunately, too often, we get these emergency requests. We need someone as of yesterday, or we need somebody next week, or I just gave birth and I need somebody to start tomorrow or tonight. And that's just not realistic. We run a new background check for every placement. So that does take time. And, you know, nannies need to be paid on payroll as a W-2 employee and set up on payroll. So there's processes that need to take place to set up a successful relationship, including an agreement between you and the nanny. We highly recommend agreements, because you will notice if you are in a broken agreement with somebody. And we want to foster those positive relationships with clear and transparent communication.
Yeah, that makes complete sense to just have, you need to buffer in those things that can come up. So, you know, if parents are saying, okay, maternity leave or parental leave is ending like May 1st, you know, when should the nanny kind of start, you know, to have that transitional time, either if it's nanny to transitioning to another nanny, or it's parents that are, you know, going back to work? What do you think the overlap should be for just educating the nanny on getting to know the family and child?
Yeah, I think anywhere from 3 to 5 days is an appropriate amount of time.
Okay.
No, the nanny comes into the house first and you're like, this is my friend. And, you know, someone that's, you know, hanging out with your nanny, and then, you know, talking to your children more so that you don't want to scare the child. And also a couple days later, the nanny may not be the right fit or not accept this job.
So true.
Parents need to be really mindful of how they introduce the nanny, you know, and this nanny will also be a friend to you, a caretaker. And so not saying like, this is going to be your new nanny, because children can get attached.
No.
Children can get attached, especially if a nanny comes in and tells them and shows them how much they care and they're playful. You know, sometimes we can just have babysitters go to homes and parents will say to us, oh my goodness, my children never, you know, bedtime routine is such a process. It's an hour and a half. And with the nanny, I don't know what she did. She's a miracle worker, but our child was
magic.
Yeah, 30 minutes, you know, and sometimes, you know, that's for a variety of reasons. Not that the nanny is better than parents, just that sometimes there's fear and they're like, I don't want to get in trouble if I don't go to sleep. Or I've really played with this person for the last 3 hours and I'm exhausted. Yeah. You know, where they say with parents, 20 minutes of quality time a day is enough. For kids, it's not enough. They need more connection in their day, or they're going to stay up later and want to spend more time with you and see you.
Absolutely. Yeah, that brings up a lot. I loved how you said, you know, how you're introducing them. I never would have thought about that, but you don't want to, I guess, in the beginning say like, yes, this is definitely going to be the person that's going to be here all the time, because if it isn't a good fit, that you have to backtrack.
Mm-hmm. And you want to be honest with your children, but also delicately do the dance before you have an accepted offer.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. I mean, do you normally recommend like, a phone interview and then like an in-person meeting and then kind of the start time.
Yeah. And now with Zoom, I recommend a Zoom interview.
Yeah.
You know, really get to feel that person's energy. Obviously, you don't know my energy ever from the waist down, you know, but I think, you know, like getting a feel for somebody's overall energy and chemistry that you feel. And we recommend up to 3 trial days. That way you can really feel out the chemistry. And the first day is so you can do a house tour and get to know the nanny and see how they interact and how you feel with your partner or your spouse. And, you know, you may have a couple children and one of them may not be home because they're in an extracurricular activity, but the next day they're home longer hours. You may have pet.
Right.
And so you want to see how the nanny kind of interacts. And you want to see also the energy of nanny to nanny. If this is a team household, a lot of the families that we work with have multiple staff. And so you want to see how the nanny interacts with everybody and get an overall sense. And then the second and third day, you know, after you've explained everything and where things are and how things works and your child's favorite meals and favorite toys and favorite activities and your safety rules and your plans and your, you know, styles of discipline and childcare philosophy. Mm-hmm. Then day 2 and 3, that's when the nanny executes it. And, you know, you may know on day 2, like, this is my person. And then you can just start, right. You know?
Right.
And likewise, I think a lot of parents forget that the trial is just as much for the nanny as it is for the family. A lot of times parents will say, well, we just need one day. And I'm like, and the nanny will say, well, I'm coming off of a 5-year job. This is going to be the job that I want.
Yeah, different age child potentially. Yeah. Like they're jumping right back into that. Oh, what development level is this child at?
Yes. And so it's the trial period is just as much for the nanny as it is for the family to make sure that it's a match for everybody. Because if it's not, it's never going to work out. And the reality is, as an agency owner, we don't convince our families to hire nannies and we don't convince our nannies to take jobs because we work for the children, not for commission. If the kids are upset or it's a mismatch, now we have a broken agreement and we have children who now have to acclimate to another new person. We want consistency.
Right. That's not fair. Right.
No, it's not fair at all. And we want consistency and continuity for those babies.
So when you talk about that continuity, that connection, what are some ways that the parents can, you know, going into a new nanny relationship, how can they help foster that bond with the nanny and child?
So I say create an activity where the nanny is involved. Either you're doing a craft project together or you're playing soccer outside or you're going to an activity together that you know your children are going to like. You share a meal together. Those activities where, you know, parents look up to their children as role models and nannies as role models. So if you see them in an environment that is, you know, feels safe with your parents, right. Always going to be helpful. So if, you know, you have a nanny in your home, you always want to treat them with respect. And I say extra kindness. Your children are watching you and listening to every single word that you say, and they're learning how to treat the nanny. So if you're disrespectful to the nanny, the kids are going to walk over them. Or say your nanny makes a mistake. Don't point that out in front of your children. Have a separate conversation after the trial day is over and say, you know, tomorrow I would love to see a little bit more of this. And it's okay for you to say no to my child and set some boundaries. Or, you know, we don't really fold the laundry, the kids' clothes like this. We kind of color code the closet. So when the uniforms go on one side and sports clothes go on the other side, you know, just so that they know. But also if you're giving feedback, it's okay for your children to see that too. You know, like if you're saying to
respectfully,
them,
yeah.
Yeah, that respectfully, can totally happen. Like say you're having Taco Tuesday and you're like, oh, you know, thanks for bringing out the flour tortillas. You know, Matthew loves corn tortillas. Those are in the side cabinet as well or in the pantry or whatever that is. Just to give little notes, it's constructive feedback and kind communication that is really helpful.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. You think of it going into it as parents, you're like, oh, I got to foster this bond between, you know, baby or child and the nanny. When in reality, like you just having that connection, your child is going to see that and thrive off of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, other things that can come up, I'm sure, you know, outside of the trial period. So say the nanny starts with the family and things get going, and then, you know, things realize that maybe there's different values or cultural things that, you know, are coming up. How do you think you can, you know, talk enough about those things up front to get some of those things on the table before, you know, they're coming up in another way?
So I think it starts with the family being transparent. We're all flawed humans, and we all have our, you know, intricacies that make us unique and special. So I say to the families, as much as you can share with your nanny, I mean, even from their first entering the door, like, we have a dog, but our dog barks incessantly for the first 10 minutes when you arrive, and then my dog chills out. Or we had a family before, like, my child, when you walk in the door, they might have their underwear on their head. They think that's really goofy and that's what they love doing, you know, or my husband's kind of quiet. Don't take offense to it. It's nothing personal. That's just his energy. And, you know, that's important. Or I'm super neurotic and type A, and I love to Marie Kondo my drawers, and everything has a place in my house, and I'll show you where everything is. There's no judgment. No judgment. Everybody is a unique, awesome family, but we all have our things. And I think the more you can share with the nanny, the more successful your relationship. Also, we have families from other cultures. They might be Orthodox Jewish, and they, you know, so you have to be really mindful about the food that you bring into the home, because some nannies will say gluten-free or dairy-free and bring food, but you have to be really mindful about what you bring into a home or how you dress, right? There's certain cultures that, you know, you have to cover certain areas of the body. So I think naming those and not making them an elephant in the corner is really important to the success of a relationship.
Yeah, that can come up a lot with, like, sleep training as well, because there's judgments, right? So say a family may rock their child to sleep or co-sleep and then not tell the nanny. And it's like, you want to be transparent and upfront about that, so then you can be on the same page. The child can see that consistency. Mm-hmm. And then together, you can decide if a change can happen and be on the same page about that. But being upfront, at least in the beginning, and saying, like, this is how my baby gets to sleep, or this is where my baby gets to sleep, and having those conversations is so important.
And the other important thing that I would love to just mention is that, you know, if families are going to be traveling with nannies, please tell them the sleeping situation.
So yes, I'm sure that comes up a lot.
Yes, if they're going to be sharing a room with a child, that shouldn't be assumed. That should definitely be a conversation that the nanny knows, like, for the next 7 days, I'm sharing a bedroom with another child. There may be different time zones, and they might need to say goodnight to their own children, and that might not be a possibility. So I just say, the more information you give, to leave the least amount of questions. Of course, things are always going to come up. You know, we can't think of everything all the time. But try your best to be honest and transparent about things. And the right nanny is going to find any of those things endearing, or they're going to be happy about it or understanding. And so I'd rather have that open conversation than it be a guessing game.
And speaking of the nannies being happy, you know, what are some of the things that you think really drive, like, longevity for a nanny and a family? Because to our point, we know that it is hard to make changes. And so we don't want to be, say you have a nanny for your child until they go off to kindergarten. You know, you ideally don't want to have, like, 5 or 6 nannies during that time period. You'd love to have someone that is, you know, in it for their career and don't have to make a lot of changes. So what do you think is some of the drivers there?
Yeah, we had our nanny for almost 4 years, and I called her my work wife. I would do
so
anything.
True.
So I can say this. It is a rarity that nannies quit because of the children. You know, to keep a nanny working with your family, you want to give them raises yearly. You want to have weekly check-ins and see how everything's
going.
That's
a good idea.
Well, I would do a happiness check on Fridays and just check in and say, how's everything going? Is there anything you have for me? Is there anything that we can do to help support you and your role better? That's always helpful. You know, when you're having a nanny, you know, offering paid vacation, paid sick time, paid holidays, you know, sometimes yearly bonuses if that's in your budget and you're able to afford it. And just overall expressing gratitude. Thank them and tell them, you know, appreciation, honoring their off time. You know, at 10 o'clock at night, you know, nobody needs to receive a text unless it's an emergency, not like you did this wrong or, you know, it's, you know, I don't know. I just find that sometimes with text messages, things can get a little loose and forget some of those boundaries of the support. Now, if it's 10 o'clock at night and you need your nanny to come in at 6 a.m. instead of 7 a.m., well, of course. But or you need to cancel something and have them sleep in late and they can take a Pilates class. You don't need them till noon, of course.
Right.
And not like you put the wrong container in the cupboard, you know, like
That can wait. That can wait.
That can wait. Yeah. It's like texting while driving. No, that can wait, right?
Yes.
You don't need to do that. That can wait. So I just think that clear communication and gratitude and expressing your joy and just treating a person like a person, part of your family. Nannies love to be and feel like part of your family, obviously with boundaries. And sometimes nannies are treated better than family. So, I mean, I just think, you know, telling them how happy and honoring them. And if they want to go to a conference to learn more or do anything to foster their education,
so true.
Be an advocate for that. That's exciting. I know that we are working as well and we want to grow in our careers. Your nanny, this is a career. They have dedicated their life to raising your children. So give back to them too.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, it's so needed. And I think you brought up another thing, which is communication. I think up front, there's always going to be a little more communication when someone's first starting, just because you're getting to know each other and there's might be more questions that need to be asked. But in terms of kind of ongoing communication, for example, you know, I know that like a daycare situation might have like when a child was like eating and sleeping throughout the day. Are there certain things that, you know, nannies might like to use to communicate to the family, like when, you know, when the child was doing certain things throughout the day?
Oh, absolutely. It's very common when a baby is, you know, born for the NCS to keep a log, or families have apps, or there's the cozy calendar, whatever that is that works for you. But I definitely recommend. It was funny when my kids were little, I wanted to know like they're eating and they're, you know, going to the bathroom. Did we have enough, you know, bowel movements today? And then I also had them log the two books that they read to them each day.
That's sweet. Yeah.
So that at night I didn't read the same book at bedtime, but obviously we would rotate. I think we read each one of those books at least 100 times, but I just my children were read to, and you know, that was important for me. So you can, you know, the nannies were all, they were like, I love that. And it made me switch up the books too. Like, find another book I haven't read in a while. And I read new books because we all have our go-tos that we tend to grab off the shelf.
Yes.
And so it was great. It was a great way. So I think, you know, logging that or sending a text message, sometimes people prefer email. That's the other thing I think that's really important that you should communicate is what is the best form of communication?
Yeah.
Is it a text? Right. Is it an email? Like, I didn't want someone to text me unless it was a picture or an emergency. I wanted a call. You know, if there's an emergency, pick the phone and call me. I don't want to receive a random text that because I may read that in a space that I'm not ready to receive that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important to communicate. And then I knew if my nanny's calling, it's a 911 emergency.
Yeah. So then you would be able to answer that right away if you were in a meeting or whatever.
And I set up a special ringtone for my nanny. Smart. So I knew if anything was happening. So I think, you know, setting up guidelines of what's most important and how the best style of communication.
Yeah. I was working with a family recently and we were going through the sleep training process. And so I had each the nanny and the mom be on a group chat in Voxer together, which is a texting support app. And they hadn't communicated in that way prior, but they both told me how much they loved being able to talk to each other throughout the day in that way that wasn't just a text message, that was something, a different form of communication. So anyway, yeah, to your point, it's just deciding like on both parties, what is the best way to chat through you know, more emergent situation or more day-to-day things, just so everyone can be on the same page and know what's happening throughout the child's day and life.
Mm-hmm. Once you get comfortable, I mean, the reality is, once you get comfortable with your nanny, I'm not going to say it's not necessary, but it's not as detailed as when they
definitely,
were
definitely
old compared to when they were six. Like, I didn't need a log that said, picked up Charlie from school and took her to art class and
right.
came home.
You know, right.
I know. I'm just like, have fun with my child and keep her safe. Thanks.
Yes, exactly.
Like, you know, and then
the trust is there.
Yeah, the trust is there. And so that's all I needed to know. And then that's it.
Yeah, I love that. And as we're wrapping up, is there anything else you can think of that would be helpful for parents to know as they're getting ready to start a new nanny relationship?
I do. Some of the things that families don't think about when they call us or talk to us is know your state laws of being a household employer. Mm. Really check that out. Check out car seat safety. And make sure that your car seat is installed safely in your nanny's car. Think about workman's comp if your nanny gets hurt in your home. You know, like that's something you want to think about. And think about having an agreement with your nanny. I think that fosters a really positive and clear relationship with your nanny. And then lean on your nanny on the times that you are maybe not concerned, but have questions about parenting. Even though they've never been a parent, they've probably taken courses or they've probably had experience from other families that would be beneficial and helpful.
Yeah, they're bringing something else to the table. And it's always just having, you know, another set of ears and eyes that are, you know, with your child that is going to be there with them.
Yes. And know that your nanny wants to please you. They really do. Nannies love to please and they love to be helpful. They just need to know how to be helpful. They're not mind readers.
Yeah. Again, just bringing back that good communication, openness, no judgment, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining. I know that so many parents are going to get so much value out of this, and we'll put in the show notes how they can contact you and find out more about Educated Nannies as well.
Great. Thanks, Kelsey. I really had fun today with you, and good luck to you in your career as well.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for taking time to listen to the Nested Parent Podcast. Make sure to subscribe and follow along wherever you listen to podcasts. If this or a past episode resonated with you, I would love for you to leave a review to help grow this parenting community. Hope to see you next time.